You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
All right, welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast, the final one of this Bachelorette season, joined as always by Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
How you doing after that 4-hour marathon?
I mean, at one point of the season, we thought this moment was never going to come. So.
That's true. We were looking like maybe we'd get 3 weeks, and we got a full season in and then some, which is a nice surprise.
Yes. As much as I love Tayja and how this season worked out, I was looking forward to this finale night.
Yeah, I think we're all ready for it to be done. And that's not a negative of any sort, because overall, I think it was a really solid season. But like you said, it was time.
Yeah. She did. I loved her. She's probably ranks at the top of my list. Not the very top, but top five.
Yeah, definitely. She was really strong. And bully for you, because you did all 4 hours in one clip. What was that experience like?
First of all, I don't know why I do that to myself. I do it like more often than I should when it's back to back episodes. But this time I think it actually worked out well, because the way night one ended was so, like, it went directly into night two. So it kind of felt like there was no night one and night two. It kind of just all went seemingly together.
Ah, okay. Well, night one, which I guess let's start from the top, was the beginning of Fantasy Suites, and the beginning of what was a, in my opinion, just wholly unnecessary, having these guys hang out together. And it just created this awkward, I mean, they acknowledged it because they said, hey, listen, it's the elephant in the room, you know, like.
Well, I think they like hope for drama to come out of it, because really we didn't have, with these top 3/4, I mean, you don't really have any dramatic people. So I think when they do this, because they do it every season, I think they hope for some drama to come out of these, but it's just uncomfortable, awkward settings.
Yeah, you have like the pseudo walk of shame, which obviously is not an actual walk of shame, but they come back the next morning and you're supposed to like make small talk. It's just gross. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, how was your night? Oh, it was
good. We didn't get much sleep. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, my turn.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's definitely unnecessary for sure.
But we did get to see JoJo again, so they kept her inside the bubble, which is nice.
Yes, and that is nice.
Yeah, gave her some you know, what to expect from Fantasy Suites, which I mean, I think we know what to expect from Fantasy Suites at this point.
Yeah, again, like, these talks even, like, aren't that helpful either. She basically just is like, oh, yeah, it's going to be tough, but, you know, it's reassuring, like, when you get to the end and you just know, like, you have the clarity and you just know who you want. But I don't think they find peace in that at all, because they don't have the clarity at this point, and they're just not sure what they're going to do. But these talks, like, especially this far in, aren't that helpful. I mean, I love JoJo and she tried, but no matter who you brought in, like, these talks I don't think help the bachelor or bachelorette.
Yeah, I think if anything, it just sort of reminds the audience that, hey, it's not just all about sex, although it's, you know, mostly, you know, I want to make sure there's a connection in that way. But it's a chance to talk about relocation, jobs, just things that make for, forget about boring TV, but just sort of the ins and outs that you just don't think of talking about in front of cameras and microphones and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it really sounded like each of them got those conversations too.
Yeah, it's to varying degrees of success.
Yeah.
And I guess we can get to some of that. You know, Ivan was first up. And things started out well for him, because they do this thing where they're setting a world record. I assume it's an actual one, for longest, coldest kiss.
Yes.
And
I wouldn't even think that would be a thing. But.
Right. And so I'm pretty sure that might have just been made up by Chris Harrison, as was Big Pauly, who I like how he said, oh, bachelor favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. You pull a guy off who's like doing lights and put him behind a table and say that he's a bachelor favorite. Okay.
I mean, I feel like we've seen him maybe three times in like all of, it's not like a fan favorite. I wouldn't call him a fan favorite. But he's like the one that pulled people off stage at like at the men tell all or whatever, when they get a little rowdy. But I wouldn't say, if you put him in front of me, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, Big Paul.
It's like, who's in the bubble that we can use? All right, Paulie, get over here.
Now's your time to shine.
You know, and so they get to the end of this kiss, and they end up, you know, blowing by it by like a minute, the record. But, you know, they're getting into it finally at the end. And it's probably the one.
I can't feel anything else. So
yeah, like, that's true.
Going.
That's a great point. But it also made it, I think, okay for him at the end to be able to just get out of the tub without an issue, because, you know, you're in an ice bath. So
yeah.
I don't think you're necessarily worried about, you know, pulling a Blake where you're just sitting there and like, oh, we're going to have to use the black box for that one. Okay, cool. You know, and all three of them basically, or the people that I guess they don't get dates, but these conversations were very similar, where it's, I'm falling in love with you. No, I'm falling in love with you. Ivan didn't go quite as far as we saw with Zach, which clearly was a little foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Because.
I thought it was funny, because like, if you look back at like, maybe, I don't know, even just like 3 to 4 seasons ago, like the lead person saying, I love you was like, you can't say that. You're not allowed to say it. And it was crazy when, I don't even remember the first one who actually said it. And it was like,
I think it was Ben.
I think Ben was
with JoJo.
Yeah. And said it to both people, both girls. That was like newsworthy. Like, oh my gosh, he said, I love you. But now she's like, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. Like, just going back and forth. So it's definitely, I don't think, as serious as a thing, even just a few seasons ago.
Yeah, because even more than Ben saying it, the thing that always stuck out with me was JoJo's response, because she obviously had watched the show and realized, like, oh, you understand. Yeah, you're not getting it back. And her face was just, she did the double take, like, what? And then that's when she thinks she's going to be the one at the end, because of course you're not going to tell two people that. I mean,
yeah, no, that's unheard of.
Who would do that? And, you know, in this case, it was a little different because both of them stuck with the falling. And somehow when they went into their interviews or in the moments, they made it seem like, oh no, I said in.
Yeah.
But both of them said falling.
Yeah. And he was, I think, more apologetic, saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't tell you sooner. Like, I should have told you sooner. But yeah, like you said, it was undoubtedly falling in love. He didn't say I love you.
Yeah, exactly. And even still, they both forego their individual rooms, and it was a little weird though. Yeah, so they get to put in a trailer, but then they get their champagne and they cheers to Dad, which,
yeah,
I mean
I probably would have thought like anything else really cheers to, but I think the meaning behind it was cute, I guess.
But, totally.
I mean, you could have, cheers to falling in love. Anything. And,
you know, and then the two things in the next morning was, one, she actually requested the honeydew in the fruit salad, which no one ever does. That's
I get a note about that. She went down a point.
Yeah, nobody requests the honeydew. Like, that's just not a real thing.
Time.
Yeah, the only time it's a good honeydew is when it's been in the fruit salad long enough that it tastes like the other fruit around it.
Exactly.
That's the only positive of that. And the other was, we're so glad that we had this serious conversation about religion. And at the time, it was, everything's great. This was awesome. So great we got to talk about it.
They both said it couldn't have gone better. Like, those were the exact words. And they said, we talked about our goals, what we have in common, like, had a great talk about religion. We could take on the world together. And then that was it.
So
that's really the last good time that we saw.
So later, when she pulls him aside at the rose ceremony and decides, oh, I'm sorry, but religion's very important to me, and just sends him home without explaining to any of us, A, what the issue with the religion is, or B, what changed from the fantasy suite when, like you just said, everything couldn't have gone more perfect.
Yeah. I did see an update on that. So you remember Kayla Quinn?
Yes. Yep.
So she reached out to Ivan after last night and was basically saying, what was the disconnect about your religion talk? And he said that, he said, she only wants to date a Christian and I'm not religious at all. And I think it was a deal breaker. So, but I don't see how that, I mean, I understand if that's a deal breaker, but it's not like they're two very different religions and they couldn't choose one, because he said, I've dated all religions.
Right.
Like, that doesn't matter to me. I'm just not a religious person. And maybe it was Tasia who's like, no, it's a deal breaker for me. And then all of a sudden it's like, we didn't agree, so you have to go home.
Yeah, but how is it not a deal breaker, A, in the fantasy suites, and B, the first 10 weeks or whatever, 8 weeks that you're there, that if that is that important, how does it not come up before then? And I understand we talk about how, well, once the cameras are away, then you can talk about things like that. But if it's that important to you, why is it not something you talk about in front of the cameras? And not that you need to preach, but just to get it out of the way, like, hey, we're not going to have a chance to talk about everything until the end, but this is so important that we need to get it out of the way now.
Or not only that, but why after this fantasy suite date was everything fine?
Exactly.
Like, and nothing, she didn't say bye to him then. Because honestly, when she said bye to him, he didn't even seem surprised.
Right.
It looked and seemed 100% mutual.
He even said, I get it. And I'm screaming at the TV, like, I don't.
Can you explain? Because you were, like, the number one runner up, like, number one front runner. And now you're just like, okay, bye. Yeah, I guess I get it.
It was. I'm sitting there. I'm thinking he seems way more like in tune to what's happening here than we are. But other than what obviously wasn't on camera, we saw everything, or at least seemingly.
He did not seem one bit of surprise, and to be in the final 2/3, and not be shocked. Then, I mean, maybe it obviously was mutual in a way.
I guess.
And I mean, he was upset, obviously.
Totally
made it this far, but he didn't seem like absolutely shocked and was like, "What are you doing?" Like, why, how'd we get this far? But he wasn't even crazy upset.
Yeah, and he was pretty convinced, and it might have been an anger thing or whatever, but he was pretty convinced she wasn't going to pick anyone. And I don't know if that's because he knew the other guys weren't religious either, or if he just in the moment was still pissed or what it was, but he seemed pretty confident, well, she's not picking anyone, which as we know now was not true.
Yeah.
But he said it pretty confidently. It didn't come off as a throwaway. He was like, no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, if it's not me, it's no one.
Which we know wasn't true, and I think that takes us into Zach's fantasy suite. I hate going back to this, but the fact that they have to read these cards in front of the other guys, and it's like, explore your body, and then he said, explore, like 20 times, and you could just see Brendan, like, crumbling, and
That's a whole other story.
Right, and it should have been more foreshadowing there. Like, we should have known what was coming, because he just, from the beginning, was, oh, I'm not first? Oh, my God. I'm not second? Oh, my God. I have to hear him talk about exploring her body? Oh, my God. Like,
I'm done.
You could see his insides just, like, crumbling.
Yeah. But I thought, I mean, as much fun as you could have with a paint date, I thought it went... it definitely went well. They definitely do have a connection. He has been pretty high, maybe top of my list for a while.
Yeah, you called this early on.
I did, and I actually think he ended up on my fantasy team that we picked randomly.
Makes sense, because even when you don't actively pick the people, they win. Like, that's just how plugged in you are.
Well, you won the first half, so.
No one won the first half.
Yes, literally no one.
So but Tayshia made sure to talk to him at dinner about how, well, your mother had said you didn't want to be married and you didn't want kids, and seemingly that is also a deal breaker for her. Mm-hmm. But that deal breaker she felt fine talking about on camera and getting, again, clarity for in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Where religion was something she was only talking about off camera.
Yeah, and I think he had a good answer for it, too. He said, you know, I wanted to be the cool uncle for a while. It was just, like, an easy thing to say, to look forward to. And then, you know, things changed over the course of life. And then it ended in an I love you.
Yeah, and, like, a hard, like, full on, as opposed to the falling.
Yeah. No, I love you. And then it was an I love you, too. Straight up.
And they once again played it off as, well, it was, she said it to both. She said, but she didn't.
Yeah. It's funny because, the one thing that stuck out to me probably in previous episodes too, but I noticed it mostly in this one, I think, 'cause we got so much of Zach, was he never assumed anything. Like, he always said, you know, if the card is offered to me, or if there were like three more, I made notes of throughout this episode. But if I'm lucky enough to make it to the final, if I'm lucky enough to meet her parents, like stuff like that, he was never like, oh, when I go, because it's definitely going to be me at the end. I'm definitely going to quote unquote win this. Definitely go in the fantasy suite. He always like, oh, if it's offered to me. And I noticed that throughout this entire episode. I don't know if it was so much throughout the whole season. I don't, like, it didn't stick out to me back then, but this episode, it was always like, if it's offered to me, if I make it this far, you know, if she chooses to keep me, like, and I thought that definitely stuck out to me in a good way.
Yeah. And this is a couple who clearly as you saw pretty early on, you know, had that instant connection. And, you know, every time I sort of followed the squirrel of, you know, like, oh, it's Brendan this time, or, mm-hmm. you know, whoever, like the person of the week that she had that connection with. And I was like, squirrel.
Yeah.
And you were always like, no, Zach. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, there was always something about his connection. And even the morning after, like dancing on the bed, and it just seems so much, I don't want to say less serious than Ivan's date, but it was just like they actually have fun together, and it's not always so, I guess, serious is the word I'm looking for. But she and Ivan, like, you didn't see a lot of fun together. Like, they definitely had a connection, and I loved Ivan.
Yeah, me too.
And still do. But it was just she and Zach had that connection of just having fun with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, and even going back to their last date, like when they the hometowns with like hailing a cab and having a New York slice, and mm-hmm. you know, everything was a combination of like, okay, we're going to do the serious stuff, but we're having fun, like, because ultimately, and they talked a lot about this, of, you know, obviously everything's not going to be great all the time, and mm-hmm. we'll get through it when it's not, but we still need to have fun too, and it's going to yeah. be an adventure. And they never had any issues mm-hmm. really with anything, but specifically with that, like, life is going to be different, but we're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely something, because even all the way up to, I mean, spoiler alert, at the end, even up to then, like, after the proposal, like, they still were having so much fun, like, exiting in the taxi, and just throughout this whole thing, they just knew how to have fun and have that fun connection.
Yeah, and speaking of not having fun, another great segue, you know, so Zach goes back, and again, they got off to sit together, and you have the awkward silence, and Brendan just continues to just fall apart. I mean, as you know, I was either Ivan or Brendan, depending on the week, you know, the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And Brendan, just every time one of these guys said anything, was just, you could see him just cracking. And the producers clearly knew this. I mean, this is why they're the best in the business. They're like, so how can we freak him out more than any other date? Is to not give him an actual date. No, we're gonna have him sit with Neil Lane. And
I just hated this.
This is the worst, maybe not date ever, but the worst final date that this show's ever had, plain and simple.
Yes.
And I understand you need to pay the bills, and I understand Neil needs to get FaceTime, and I have no problem with that. And when Zach needed to pick out a ring, like, that was the typical stuff. And when he opens the box, the Neil Lane is, you know, a special shot for that. Get all that. This yeah. date was such a waste of time, and it was clearly just there to push Brendan over the edge. Like, they knew that he was teetering, and they're like, how can we make sure that he just chooses to leave? Oh, we yeah. got it. And that's exactly what they cooked up.
But I honestly think he needed it. I think Brendan needed this type of date to completely be like, you know what? I'm still broken. I need to be healed. Like, if it was just a fun date, he would have just had a fun day, and he would have been more confused at the end. But instead, he was having a low-key panic attack.
It wasn't low-key. It was very high-key. It was very clear. I mean, he looked like a deer in headlights the entire time.
The sweating and the awkwardness and the,
Like, and then for Neil to play the role of, like, okay, let's sit down together and be like, okay, Tayshia, what are these next few days looking like? Like, oh my God, you're making her talk about the other guys. And just, I mean, I don't know that at any time that Brendan actually, like, did more than a half smile that entire time they were in there with Neil.
He literally was just, like, staring and didn't know to smile, didn't know to if he should laugh. Cry. I don't know. But honestly, like, she, when he had, you know, he had the talk with, I'm not healed. I'm not ready for this. I don't want to put you through this. You know, you deserve a man that's complete. I want to give you my whole heart, and it's just not whole yet. You know, at least she knew now and didn't get, you know, 2 months into an engagement and was like, oh, by the way, like, I'm not healed from my last relationship, my last divorce, because that was honestly her biggest fear throughout this whole season, but she wasn't, I mean, she was upset with it and she was disappointed, but she was like, in the past I would have been, you know, pissed off, but I know what we've been through and I'm not going to force someone to stay here or force someone to be here when you know you're not ready.
And it's one of the rare times where you get down to the final three and you have a contestant actually do the breaking up as opposed to the bachelor or bachelorette. I mean, yeah, this is
especially another, at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is another thing that's just completely unheard of. And I guess, you know, let me, I don't want to be total like bro here, but he could have waited until the next day. And, you know, good on him for being the gentleman and being honest and saying, like, listen, going through this.
In his mental state after the Neil Lane incident, I don't think he would have even made it. He has dinner, honestly. Like, this poor guy. I felt so bad. I couldn't, like, I didn't want to watch, but I couldn't stop watching.
And, you know, he did say, like, this is, like, I get it, but I don't get it because, like, this is everything that I'm looking for. And you are it, and I want the whole thing, but it's just not the right time. And good for him for being honest and not waiting until the rose ceremony or what, or even just the next morning and going through the process of the fantasy suite.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot lesser people would have been tempted to do that for quite obvious reasons.
Yep. 100%.
And considering how into him she was for really since the beginning, which she brought up a couple times, I think that that's puts him in a very unique category of people that we've seen on this show.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
he's just been great this whole, I don't want to say process, but
drink
this journey.
Drink.
But he's a good guy. He's a good one.
Yeah. And, you know,
that was a sad one.
Yeah. Because she said,
like,
yeah, every single day, like, I thought you were the one. And he even said, you know, it more or less the time just didn't line up because me not being ready now makes me lose the person who in my eyes would have the whole package and give me everything that I want. And like, that cuts deep.
Yeah. His poor niece.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, jeez. You know, then the next morning you have Rachel there to sort of pick up the pieces and, you know, offer advice about how you get the information that you need at this point, which maybe she should have been with JoJo and maybe should have been pre-fantasy suites.
Thanks, Rachel.
But again, much like JoJo and just letting the audience know, okay, hey, it's also about talking about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And I think Rachel was there to remind the audience, hey, Ben is back and, or Ben will be back, you know, because let's have her talk about Ben so that it's not completely out of left field when he decides to show up again.
Yeah.
And just talk about, and I don't care that he ended up in the final two in this sort of musical chairs that was the last couple episodes, but it was just much like the Neil Lane date, just completely and 100% unnecessary.
Yeah. She was pretty shocked when she answered the door and Ben was standing there. She did not look happy at first. She was actually kind of pissed off. And then, you know, he did the same song and dance. Like, I was caught off guard. I, you know, didn't know how to show my emotion. I blew it. But honestly, like, I don't know. After seeing like Twitter and social media, like I guess I'm in the minority, but I didn't think he should have come back, and I don't like that he came back.
I'm with you. I didn't follow along live last night, so I'm not sure. I didn't realize that people were actually pro Ben coming back, because
everyone was like, you know, Ben for Bachelor, and oh my god,
no,
Ben came, and I'm like, I didn't think, I thought the complete opposite, really. Like, when you think back, this is really his second time doing this. That night that Ed went to Chris Harrison's house, or villa, instead of hers. But he just needs to go home. I mean, I like Ben and I feel bad for him, but I just feel he had his time. Obviously Tasia felt like he wasn't finished, so he was kept around until at least the rose ceremony. But I was just like, you had your time. It's not going to be you.
Right. And even you said, like, she was so upset, and we finally found out where that clip came from that we've been hearing all, you know, all season about how, like, we have a rose ceremony. What am I supposed to do with that? And then, like, there was such disdain in the way that she said that. And it just felt like honest anger. And then for her to come out and, okay, you walk her out and he has to, like, ask permission for a hug. But then that somehow turns into you choosing
my family,
you choosing to make out with him. And it just, so confused.
Yeah. Like, it was, I think she was probably as confused as we all were. Cause she said, you know, I care about him. I was falling in love with him, but I sent him home for a reason. And then she's like, in the future, are you going to run away every time something gets hard? Which is where my mind would go. Like,
absolutely.
He's not going to be here when things get hard. He's just going to, you know, run away. And then all of a sudden she was like, okay, you can come to the rose ceremony. And then they make out on the step outside. So it was very confusing.
You know, so then we get to the rose ceremony where obviously the guys are shocked that, oh, okay, Brendan's not here, but Ben is. This is weird. And
did you see Ivan's eyes?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. And so she pulls Ivan in. You know, we talked about that, how, you know, well, religion. But she didn't have the one-on-one time with Ben. Like, when did they talk about, like, does she know his stance on religion? I mean, it's just this whole, again, the musical chairs is confusing, because so if Ben doesn't come back or Brendan doesn't break up with her, does that mean that Ivan just would have stuck around anyway, sort of by default?
I don't know, because I thought, like, is Zach so mad because if Ben didn't come back, would he have, quote unquote, won that rose? I mean, there probably wouldn't have been a rose ceremony, and maybe they would have just kept Zach separate so we didn't know. I mean, it wouldn't be fun for us, but so maybe that's why. Maybe the producers were like, you know what, you should take Ben back. Just keep him around, let him meet your family.
It just, it seemed so weird that she's so sure that we need to bring Ben back, but Ben's only coming back because Brendan chose not to be there. And then she sends Ivan home, but only because Ben came back.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
I guess so.
Because Ben doesn't come back, then it's by default, it's going to be Ivan and Zach.
Yeah, and we still have an hour and a half left.
Yeah, and so, I mean, maybe it's just, it goes to show you that it was Zach from the beginning, and all the other stuff that was just window dressing of, well, every day it's you, Brendan, or it's you, Ivan, or just all that stuff was just sort of clouding everything, and it was all just, oh no, Zach's been the only constant, and I'm just going to fill in with whoever until we get to, it's going to be Zach.
Yeah.
And
I think so.
And I think that came across in when they went and met her family, because, you know, her father was rightfully skeptical. Like you said, the same way you would be.
Yeah.
Is, wait a minute, you left? And like, and I love how they lead with that when telling their story.
Yeah.
Is, oh yeah, by the way, I already broke up with
him. You're home and now you're back.
You know, and, you know, kudos to mom, because she had like the biggest beer in history. So like A plus for that. And, you know, she had the go Navy, beat Army ready to go. But even just them sitting there, and not even just her father, but just in general, like, it just didn't feel like a date. It just, he felt out of place with them.
Yeah, he definitely didn't fit in. with her family. I thought it was awkward when they all rode scooters at the end too.
Yeah, I'm just glad someone didn't wipe out because, oh my Lord.
But he was right. Like her dad said, I don't want you to have to work so hard to get someone to be on the same page as you. And that's exactly what, I mean, I don't think she was working hard before he went home the first time. I don't think she was working too hard since the night before.
But it's a perfect point. Like it shows that he shouldn't even be there. Is because if it's going to be that much of a struggle, and it's another thing that unfortunately we have to talk about every season, is things shouldn't be that difficult. Yep. And if it is, then it's not right.
Yeah, and I think jumping ahead just a little bit, I think her dad came to visit her because I feel like maybe he thought she was leaning towards Ben and was like, please don't do that.
That's a great point because
I love Ben, but
totally.
But
they're not right together.
They loved Zach.
Yeah.
Which is also funny because usually the one they end up with, the family has the most concerns about. And like there wasn't even drama there. Like it was just, this whole thing was just meant to be.
Yeah. And when her father did come back to talk to her, the editing was very interesting because you make a great point that it was probably specifically aimed at Ben.
Yeah.
But the way it was framed was, we don't want you getting engaged to anyone.
Yeah.
Which is never a good idea.
Yeah, I think especially just like going through quickly on social media last night, I think a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, they don't want her to get engaged. But I took it as this was directed towards Ben. Like we don't want you to fall back to where you were in your past. And this is where it's going to end up.
Right. And finding out things 30 days, 60 days, a year down the road that maybe you guys shouldn't be together. And because Zach, it doesn't quite make as much sense because everybody seemed in the family seemed to really dig him, and her father specifically, because he was honest about how, like, yeah, listen, I was young, I screwed up, I was partying, it was my fault, it was on me, and, you know, what made me change, honestly, is your daughter. And it just, and talking about how she talked about him and them as a whole, just, you could tell, like, her father was ready to melt. So, like,
he completely buttered up everyone, and it was just, like, A+ for him.
Yeah, and I understand Tayshia needs to, they're like, you got to give us something.
Yeah.
But for her to, you know, leave that whole situation and saying that, oh, it couldn't have gone better with both, and they're very different, but, you know,
yeah, that's
heart,
for sure.
But part of each of my heart, like, part of each of my heart wants both of them or something along those lines. And it's like,
wasn't that one Ben?
And again, you don't want to keep tooling on Ben, but it's just,
I know, because I honestly do like him. I just think, I don't think he was ready for this show.
No, exactly. And
but I do like him. I'm sorry, Ben.
Yeah, and after her father had the talk with her, she did seem very uneasy and you're like, well, maybe, because she seemingly was back in the camp of, I do want to get engaged and married again. And then all of a sudden it was, do I actually want to get?
Yeah, she was super stressed out going into her last date with Zach. And he definitely picked up on it and was like, oh, she must be like so stressed. Her head's not like in it today. And then they had their, you know, the first dance date and they started to have fun and that stress kind of melted away. But I don't think it was, what am I going to do at the end? Like, who am I going to pick? I don't think that was where the stress was coming. I think it was, should I get engaged at this point to Zach or anyone right now? Like, am I ready for that? I don't think it was like, who do I choose, Zach or Ben?
Right.
I think it was engagement or no engagement, really.
Yeah, and to your point, Zach, again, wasn't assuming anything. You know, he just could tell that, okay, well, you know, she's feeling the intensity of all this and I'm a little scared. So it wasn't even she's clearly going to pick me, but she's having issues breaking up with someone or whatever. Like, no, it was, I'm not taking anything for granted. I know I'm ready to propose, and she's seeming like maybe she's not.
Yeah.
And the fact that he felt that so immediately is like, again, probably another like, okay, like check one off for Zach. Like this probably more of us should have been in your camp where it was like, okay, well, it's pretty clear that he's the choice here.
Yeah.
And probably has been for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, I think, would have been closer. I mean, as someone watching the show, obviously you don't know what it's like being there, but if it was like Zach and Ivan, like just the two of them, because I did love Ivan, and probably would have been more split down the middle if there wasn't a religion thing. Like if they knew that that wasn't going to be an issue. But there was clearly no contest between Zach and Ben.
And then especially sort of his closing
argument. Every single person on social
media. You know, his closing argument, if you will, where he tells her, you know, we're basically I'm celebrating my 9-year anniversary, and sort of showing how he is able, you know, now that he's straightened his life out, he knows what commitment is, and he's experienced it, and he's living it, and that's how he knows that he's ready to do it again. And it's like, dude, you just keep getting like 10 out of 10 here. Like everything that he did these last few weeks was just, and again, beyond that, but especially these last few weeks was just aces.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, but Zach's ex-wife responded to the finale last night.
No.
And she said that she loves Tayshia and that she seems awesome. And she's already happily married and just had a baby too.
Oh.
But she said watching it obviously was a little uncomfortable, which would be for anything,
totally.
Anyone, I guess. But she said she loves Tayshia and seems like it's going to be a great relationship. So there's no even drama there.
Like, look at that.
This is just.
Talk about just perfection.
It is
start perfection. To finish. And, you know, we had to. There's no way we were getting through an entire season without a just straight up gratuitous shower shot. And I think they realized it right before probably they're like, oh, Ben's about to go home. Oh crap. We don't have our shot. Like we got the gratuitous pool shot with Tayshia when we introduced her.
We didn't get any shower shots.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, Ben's on his final 10 minutes here. So why don't we just have a camera on him in the shower? And
he'll end up in paradise. So let's just beef up his audition.
Because at least we know we're starting The Bachelor with a shower shot. So they're getting that out of the way early.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they give Ben, like, the hunk shot where he can show off his 12-pack. And then they're like, well, it's all about to go downhill for him. So, like, we might as well let him have his glory now because, man.
Yep.
And much like Brendan deciding to leave, I mean, good on Tayshia. You know, they could have gone on a date and they could have had him get dressed up and pick out a ring. And
yeah.
Drive out and be the first person to step out and everyone go, oh,
yeah,
we're not going there. She knew what she wanted. It was done. Let's just pull the Band-Aid off, even though Ben's Band-Aid has been off and on 6 times in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, Ben. But you could see when she went to break up with him, you could see the exact moment where, like, it processed in his mind. And it was just, like, a shocked sadness.
Because at the beginning, you're right, when he answered the door, he's like, hey!
Yeah, oh, okay, I'm like,
oh, that's what this
talk.
Oh, crap. I wanted to be in the bubble a couple extra days.
I wasn't done with the pool.
And, you know, he's doing his write-off or whatever, and he's like, I don't know what to do now. And I'm starting to think, like, well, why don't you just go to the final rose? Because... I mean, why not? Just be like, guys, I know you're about to have a talk, but can I steal her for a second?
Yeah. Can we just do this?
And, you know, we get to go to the final rose, which is actually the final rose, and not even really a ceremony. And the first time in a while where you have the first person stepping out isn't going home. So there's not that dramatic, like, pan up to, like, oh, they're about to get their heart broken.
Yeah. It was And where was the setting for this romantic setting for all these dates?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they stepped out of the bubble because they're like, these are our final scenes, so we can leave the bubble.
They should have had this final rose at their fountain. But at Zach and Kate's fountain.
That would have been very full circle. Because, like I've said a few times, he nailed that too. You know, the fact that, you know, when everything happens for a reason and clearly this was meant to be, and I'm just like, man, this dude. But obviously, they're still together. So, you know, that's all great. But when she first got there, I thought she wanted, like, she was being sent to detention.
Yeah.
You know, she's telling Chris, like, everything, it's all good. And the way she said it made it seem like she was checking out of the
group. Like, so in so much pain, and she's like, I'm just so excited.
Yeah, it almost was like she's at, like, the doctor's office. And they're like, okay, or the dentist, like, let me know if this hurts. And you're like, no, it's fine. Just get it over. Like, I did not look like someone who was headed to a proposal that she was going to be so excited about.
If even leading up to that, there's no doubt that it was Zach. Like, she made the right decision.
Totally.
I think even going into it, like, was she still thinking, should I be engaged at this point? Like, am I ready for an engagement? And I think after just seeing Zach, like, walk up to her, maybe she was just like, yes, I am ready. Like, this is it. Like, that possibly could be going through her mind.
Yeah. And it just, once they got into the whole proposal or whatever, their back and forth speeches, it clicked in, and all then, you know, fireworks and woo, everything's like, it's not actual fireworks. But everything was great, and it's perfect, and literally took us up to, you know, 159, whatever. Mm-hmm. Which means we didn't get a after the final rose.
I know.
They wasted our time with that men tell all crap, and they couldn't get us
an update on their.
They couldn't get us
back, like, during, like, with Matt's season.
Like, they couldn't give us the selfie video of them, like, making
cooking.
Hey, look, Home Chef, use code, you know, Tayshia for 20% off. Like,
even, like, I don't know if you watched Good Morning America this morning.
I did not.
Them on it, but even that, like, they seem the exact same. They seem, you know, in love. They were laughing the whole time. Like, just definitely, they're with the right people. Like, they made the right decision. They're still very happy together. But even that, like, there was no real update. She is keeping her house right now in California, but spending Christmas in New York. So, kind of just seeing how it goes. But they're looking forward to dating each other right now, which is what you should be.
Wow, that's so rational and shocking. But the other thing was at the end when they're celebrating, and she said, "Oh, do you like donuts?" Okay, you talk about all these deal breaking things
before. Yeah, and how did this not come up at all?
Yet you wait until after he puts a ring on your finger to ask if he likes donuts. What if all of a sudden he's like, "Oh no, I don't eat sweets."
Okay, this is over.
Yeah, can we get Ben back for a fourth time, because this isn't happening?
Like, oh my gosh, poor Ben.
How do you wait till the end to find out if he likes donuts?
Yeah, especially since that was part of Ivan's fantasy sweet date. They had champagne and donuts.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's rough. But, like, I mean, that's,
I,
like,
knew that and you didn't.
When I found out at work that, you know, a coworker of ours didn't like cake, I'm like, who doesn't like cake?
Yeah.
Like, this is, I'm sorry, this is, I didn't, well, we wouldn't have hired you.
When I said I don't really like chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, no, you do. You like chocolate chip cookies, but with what?
Without the chocolate chips.
Oh, right. So you like cookies. And again, like, I wish I would have known this information before we went through the hiring process, because, I mean, deal breaker. Who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies? Oh, my God.
It's a thing.
But everybody's happy. Yay.
Yes.
Tayshia deserves it.
Claire and Dale are happy for Tayshia's choice with Zach.
Oh, so, well, good. I'm glad they approved.
Have that approval.
Check that off the list. I was concerned. I was worried. You know, but listen, Tayshia gave us a great season. Even if she gave us a terrible season, she deserves it. But it was a great season. She was awesome. I'm sure she will now be the JoJo, the Rachel, you know, these A-plus stars of the franchise that keep coming back. And in whatever role that is, we'll see. But
and this was really the first time in a while, I think, that, like, everyone, I mean, especially except for the people that, like, were fully 100% Ben, like, they, like, this is one of the first times in a while that, like, we seem confident in this choice of who the lead person picked at the end, because we haven't had a good track record the past couple of times. Like, we had to go through the whole Becca thing. We went through Colton. We went through, Peter. We had to go through Hannah and Jed. Like,
ooh.
We were due for a good couple to come out of a season.
And, like, we deserve this.
We do deserve it.
The franchise as a whole needs it right now. So this is this is what I do think will survive. But I think they almost need it to survive. Like,
yeah.
And not just so you can keep the Neil Lane ring. Like, I think the franchise needs a win here, because all the wins seem to be leaning on sort of past things. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Because you can't count Peter and Kelly, because it didn't come out of the, I mean, they were both on the show, but it didn't come out of the show.
No.
So I hope it works for the sake of working, but you need, like, a current win so that they can come back and talk
they
during
that
season.
A newer success story.
Exactly.
Tristan.
Let's talk about them again. For our younger viewers, you weren't born when they got together, but
basically.
Yes, absolutely. And overall, even with the drag down of the first few episodes, I thought A-plus of a season. Not the most dramatic ever, but certainly the most unique, I think, that we've ever seen. And not just because of COVID protocols, but just because things were sort of all over the place, and not just the end. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah.
Gotta get one more in there.
Yeah, I thought she did a great job. A top season.
Yeah. And we only get a week break before Matt comes in.
12 days.
And entertains us from, I think, Pennsylvania, because nothing says fun like...
Can't wait for those games.
Yeah, I don't know if they're in the Poconos or where they are, but yay, Pennsylvania.
We'll find out.
Yes. Other than this big finale, was there anything else going on?
Something I can relate to. Ari and Lauren are expecting twins in July.
Oh.
Which is when I had my twins.
How old is their first?
I think they had her right before I had mine. So almost two, a year and a half.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And we've talked about this off air, but it's not quite as bad as my friend that had one and then had twins, and they were, you know, basically, you know, Irish triplets.
Yeah.
And that's not quite as bad as that, but that's a lot.
Sure, yeah. Twins. And having a toddler is, I'm sure, a whole different. Oof. I mean, I had twins last year, and they were my first. So I can't imagine throwing a toddler in before that. So good luck to them.
Listen, Ari sucks, but good for him. I'm happy they're happy, and hope.
I'm glad they stayed apart during COVID while they had COVID.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, hoping for, obviously, the happy and healthy children, but Ari still sucks.
Talk about bad season.
Yes, exactly.
Well, but that's all I have.
I mean, listen, twins, as you know, that's a big one. So yeah. That's huge.
They secured the Instagram handle, too.
Oh, Christ. So, oh, my God.
Good for them.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't talk. I just started an Instagram for my 3-month-old puppy. So, you know, what am I saying? At the notorious RTP, by the way, Ruthie the puppy. If you're interested, I've got all kinds of Aruban puppies that are now following. And one day we're up to a whopping 51 followers of this dog. So,
wow, everyone, go follow Ruthie.
Doug the pug who? We are taking over the world. Right. But it's been a great season. And we'll be back in, what did you say, 10 days, 12 days?
12 days, that's
12
it.
12 days, oh my God. But we're back to Mondays, I believe.
Yes.
Touchdown.
I think so.
Big win. Well, it's a great season. At Bachelor Podcast on all socials. And thank you for listening as always. And of course, our expert who calls it every time and called it again, Katie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.